It is time now for The Other Side, and we are joined in the studio by Ashley Campbell, Orange County Conservative, to help us out today. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good. So today is a busy day in the news. Last night, Chatham County Commissioners met and moved forward on their discussion of the Confederate statue in downtown Pittsburgh. They're asking the UDC to come up with a new plan by October 1st, and if they don't, then they might take steps to unilaterally remove the monument there. So that's where that stands. Today is also the one-year anniversary of the takedown of Silent Sam on the UNC campus last year. And while those two things are going on, we're also in the middle of a kind of a steady stream of demonstrations, both pro and anti-Confederate in Hillsboro, which also got one particular business involved, Matthew's Chocolates, on the anti-Confederate side in that case. So, and all of those are happening at the same time. So, yeah,
it's all very much tied together.
It's a busy time.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts? What are you thinking?
Oh, well,
where do we
start
with this?
There's a lot
there. Yeah.
Yeah. As you said, that there's the Silent Sam anniversary today, and you know, there's going to be a commemoration about that on well, maybe not quite on campus. I think it's going to be
Peace and Justice, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
To commemorate the 1 year anniversary. So there's a lot that's going to be happening on UNC's campus today as well. And I think these events like the takedown of Silent Sam. Now we have the pending, I guess, removal of a Confederate monument in Pittsburgh in Chatham County. You know, earlier in Hillsboro, you know, this is back in 2015. Mm-hmm. So it's in a pre-Trump, pre-Charlottesville world.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a lifetime ago.
Yeah, many, many moons ago.
Yeah, I always feel like it's important to point out that. But back then, there's the Confederate Memorial removed in Hillsboro.
Right, and that was just the words Confederate Memorial on the side of the building.
Well, I would push back against that
okay.
a little bit, just because I feel like, you know, that was the removal of an actual memorial, because that is listed on the Hillsboro, you know, Historic District inventory as the Confederate Memorial Building.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as opposed to having a statue of a soldier, Hillsboro had this building. And anyway, I mean,
right.
I know the town maintains that there wasn't a memorial. There never was a memorial. But I think that a lot of people might disagree with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was also, more recently, Orange County passed this ordinance about flag size and regulations on, you know, flags that people can put in their yards and on their houses and whatnot. And I know all the letters are being sent out from the county to people who are allegedly in violation of this ordinance this week.
And the ordinance is content neutral, but it's specifically dealing with that one flag in particular.
Right.
Right.
Exactly. So the big mega Confederate flag on Highway 70, I guess, north of Hillsboro. So, you know, we have all of these things that are what I would argue draw the Confederate flaggers to Hillsboro. But it's astonishing to me how that is rarely addressed in news coverage of, you know, where we have these, the dispute between Matthew Shepard of Matthew's Chocolates and the Confederate flaggers who are downtown, and then the subsequent demonstrations by people who are, you know, anti-Confederate flag, that the demonstrations that were held the following week and the week after. I think that was August 3rd and 10th. But those things are rarely brought up and the discussion. And I think it's just something that's, it's an important piece that's missing. And it's not necessarily to give these, the people who are doing the flagging, some kind of pass or something like that. It's just, these are actual events that may have, that they may be reacting to. And I don't understand. I'm sort of baffled why it never gets brought up.
I think that's a fair point, because when in the discussion about Silent Sam, when the decision was made to, when the decision was made by Carol Folt in this case to bring down the base after the statue got taken down. And then prior to that, when people were calling for the statue to be taken down by the university before that demonstration last year, one of the arguments that was made was, well, the presence of the statue is provoking demonstrations and is a threat to public safety, which is, you know, an argument that makes some logical sense. But the act of taking down the statue and the act of, like you said, passing ordinances like that also provokes demonstrations. So I was never convinced by that argument in particular.
Right.
Yeah. There were other reasons for bringing down the statue or passing the ordinance or taking down Confederate Memorial that might be justifiable, and, you know, we can have a discussion about that. But the public safety argument never really sold me.
Right. And I'm always skeptical when any governmental entity does something for public safety. Mm-hmm. You know, often there seems to be
some
underlying
issues. I was going to say, there are some other issues where we could...
Well, certainly there are issues where public safety isn't an actual concern, where government has to take action, and, you know, those things are understandable. But I'm a little bit skeptical, you know, sometimes when public safety is invoked. So, yes, as you said, these are things that people are reacting to. And, you know, I want to commend our mayor, Tom Stevens, for the letter to the community that he put out a few weeks ago, mm-hmm. because I thought it did a really great job of explaining the First Amendment, mm-hmm. because I think both he and Penny Rich, county commissioner's chair, have gotten emails and whatnot that are like, why don't you just tell these people they can't do this? Mm-hmm. I mean, as the mayor says, like, well, they have a First Amendment right to, unless they're right. causing some kind of violent disturbance or hindering, you know, traffic on the sidewalk and that sort of thing. As long as they're peaceful, then it's okay. And so I really am glad that he took the initiative to, you know, reiterate these rights that, you know, government is supposed to be protecting, you know, no matter what message is being conveyed. Mm-hmm. So well done there. And also setting the record straight on, you know, what the nature of the police involvement was with the Matthews chocolate situation.
And that's a whole nother thing about the role of social media. Oh. And one thing gets slightly misstated and then it gets shared 250 times.
Right, exactly. And I'm sure that there were a lot of people who were going to turn out in support of Matthew's chocolates on August 3rd anyway, but because the social media posts that had some falsehoods that the author even acknowledged quietly later and removed them, I mean, it contributed to the outrage. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure, you know, if I had gone down there with a clipboard and asked everybody, you know, why are you here? I'm sure there would have been some people who would have indicated that they were there because they believe some lie that was spread through social media. Mm-hmm. You know, and they would be, you know, very good people there for, you know, what they think is a very good reason, and that's fine. But, you know, social media just played a huge role in that. And, you know, there's other inaccuracies I saw elsewhere, like the police made him take his sign down.
Right.
You know,
right.
Things that are just completely not true.
And in those cases, like, not even necessarily lies, like not even people getting on social media and saying something that they know to be false, but getting on social media and saying something that they heard, saying something that they thought they heard, and then it turns out that it was actually, or saying something, or saying the police said this when it was actually someone else who said this. And by the time they get back around to correcting it, again, 250 shares, and it's already too late.
It's way too late.
It's back to the individual responsibility that we all have to fact check the things that we're putting on social media before we put them there.
Right. And I think that the heightening of the rhetoric is something that I've been concerned about throughout this whole month-long saga that we've been dealing with in Hillsborough, mm-hmm. because there was also a demonstration on August 10th that was more about white nationalist terrorism and violence committed with firearms, mm-hmm. and in the wake of you know, the two mass shootings
in
El Paso and Dayton.
And that was one that started out as being an anti-Confederate demonstration, and then it happened the day after El Paso and Dayton, so it became something else.
Right. Yeah. So it was, yes. I mean, from reading the event description, it was sort of, it became those two things more or less rolled into one. But, you know, the event organizers seemed to draw the conclusion in their description of their event that waving a Confederate flag on the corner in downtown Hillsborough is also an example of white nationalist terrorists, and so, or terrorism, rather. Mm. And so, you know, I think that that's heightening rhetoric that is not necessarily helpful. You know, I've tried to have conversations about, you know, so what drew you to that conclusion? It's like, well, they're waving a Confederate flag. It's like, well, you know, they may have, they may not be white nationalists, even though they're waving a Confederate flag, because they may not believe in, you know, having separate ethno states based on, you know, white supremacy and separating people by race and that sort of thing. And they're like, well, but they're waving a Confederate flag. Well, okay, fine. Fair enough. But then these assertions get repeated, like there are some elected officials that attended the event, and that's fine. They have a First Amendment rights like everybody else. But then, you know, through social media, again, they repeat things like, you know, these are white nationalist terrorists that have come to Hillsborough, you know, and I just don't necessarily think that that's helpful. I wish that elected officials would exert a little bit more caution when they're describing things like this that I know that they're very passionate about, but I don't necessarily think that that's, you know, without talking to the people who are doing the flagging and finding out what they're really motivated by, then I don't necessarily think that's a fair conclusion to draw. Mm. I know how people interpret.
Right.
I know a lot of people see it as, you know, deliberate acts of racial intimidation. But that's one thing. I think it's above and beyond that to try to label someone as a white nationalist, particularly, you know, in conjunction with the El Paso shooter, for example. So that's a little bit extreme.
Speaking with Ashley Campbell, I think the interpretation matters there, though, because when you've got a symbol like that that we know kind of has a history of being used as a symbol of anti-civil rights, anti-integration, anti-desegregation, and being used to try to intimidate people into silence, and then that same symbol gets waved around on the streets of Hillsborough, I think the interpretation that, oh, the people who are doing this are participating in that same kind of discourse that the symbol has been used for 50 plus years now, 60, 70 plus years now, is a valid interpretation, isn't it?
Even if the
people who are waving the flag, like whatever their actual thoughts are and whatever their actual motivation is.
Yeah. Well, I think that their actions are not on par with a mass shooting.
Right.
That's all I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's an attempt by some people involved with this event to draw connections where I don't think it's fair to draw them. Mm-hmm. Like, you might think that it's racial intimidation, and I don't necessarily disagree with that interpretation at all, because I'm very aware of how the Confederate flag was used in the past and things it was associated with. So I don't necessarily disagree with that, but I don't think it's fair to draw a comparison between them and, you know, an actual white nationalist terrorist who's gone, you know, mass shooting spree. It's,
yeah.
Those are two different things in my mind.
Speaking with Ashley Campbell, got to wrap up. Final thoughts about everything.
Oh, well.
Hillsborough, Silent Sam, Pittsburgh.
Well, going back to Pittsburgh, it's interesting to me. I've tried to read up on everything going on this morning, and so I'm sort of playing a little bit of catch up. But I wonder what documentation exists to really decide the ownership of the statue that's there, because it seems a little bit murky from various news reports that I've read. And ownership is actually very important, because that decides whether this is a private statue or public. You know, and now we have the state law that limits, you know, what can be done with public statues and memorials and things like that. So I've asked one of my friends who lives in Chatham County, who's definitely on the take it down side, you know, what documentation exists. And she said that it does exist, but she hasn't gotten back to me yet. So, you know, I'm still waiting on that. Maybe it does. But I think just deciding that ownership is really key here. So I'm waiting to see what happens with that.
Well, if you're listening out there, stay with us, because at 4:06, we're going to have Zach Horner from the Chatham News and Record coming in to talk about the Chatham County Commissioners meeting last night. And we'll talk about that question, because that is definitely legally an important question in that whole discussion. Ashley Campbell with the other side, as always, thank you so much.
Thank you, Aaron.